Welcome to Manga Cube, episode 121, for your one stop for manga news and commentary for the week of November 10th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo, and this week you get to find out what happens when I'm not recording this at the bum crack of morning, by which I mean 12 in the afternoon, and when I'm hyped up on rock stars. Yay!
Oh, you've been drinking energy drinks. That makes sense. I don't really trust energy as much, but I did used to drink that one that was actually okay, but...
Man, if you think I get energetic during my anti-Naruto rants, just wait till you see what happens when we read the final chapter and I'm hyped up on energy drinks.
Well, we read the final chapter and I can finally say that it's over.
Indeed, we'll get to that. Although this will probably end up being like a 3-hour episode. Because I can just totally, because, you know, before we started recording, we said, okay, look, we go on too long. Our episodes go on way too long. Let's try to keep it to like an hour. And I said, maybe, yeah, that's good. Maybe an hour and a half. And just watch, now that I'm overstimulated, I'm going to get to it. And then next thing we know,
it's going to take 3 hours for you, but I'm going to make sure it stays at least within an hour and a half.
All right. Well, in order to keep it from going too long, let's cut the chatter and let's go ahead and... What am I doing? Let's go ahead and open up the news.
Starting off with the Japanese comic ranking for the week of November 3rd through 9th, 2014.
I'm trying. It won't let me open the...
All right, I'll start off first then. Okay, in 10th place, we have Drifter Volume 4.
Ah, okay. Next one.
Ninth place, Naruto Hidden Jin no Fumi Character Official Data Book. Eighth place, Yokai Watch Volume 5. What is this series?
Seventh place, Boku no Hero Academia Volume 1.
That is actually the series by the once continuing Barrage.
Oh.
Yeah, it was by the guy named Barrage. Apparently, this one's turning out better.
Oh, that's good. Well, Barrage was pretty darn good, so...
It was good, but like I said, it just had a bad beginning, and yet the readers are like, oh, we didn't really like it.
Hopefully this one gets picked up by Weekly Shonen Jump USA.
Supposedly, the first chapter I read, it's kind of similar to One Punch Man, but more or less of the, you know, it's not a monthly series, so, and since it's in Weekly Shonen Jump, it's more...
Right.
Shonen Jump-ish. All right.
I gotcha. What else do we have?
Sixth place, Prison School, Volume 15.
I have to admit, that is my guiltiest
Tangoku
of pleasures.
Tangoku Gakuen.
Yes, that series is my guiltiest of pleasures because it is so freaking dirty, and yet at the same time, it's hilarious.
Wait a minute. His last name's Hirano, and then we have...
Yeah, we have Kota Hirano, who did Helsing.
That'd be hilarious if they were related.
No, they both seem to have an obsession with giant tits.
Good point. Except Kota Hirano is more old-fashioned.
Yeah, and only one of his characters really... Oh, actually, there were several. But anyway, that's besides the point. Fifth place, Library Wars, Love and War, Volume 14.
Fourth place, Ajin, Demi-Human, Volume 5.
Toriko, Volume 32 in third place.
Second place, Food War, also known, more commonly known as Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 10.
And in first place, we have Naruto, Volume 71. Quite possibly one of the only times this ever makes it to first place, or at least whenever One Piece is released at the same time.
Yes. Well, congrats, Naruto. You ended on a good-ish note.
That's pretty decent. That's Weekly Shonen Jump taking the top three spots.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's pretty decent, indeed. All right, I'm opening up the next one.
Especially when one of the series in the top three was only around for about 2 years so far.
I mean, Shokugeki no Soma is fantastic. It's one of those ones where their fan service is a bit blatant, but at the same time, you can tell that there's enough to the series that it's not just all about the fan service.
So. Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the North American... New York Times manga bestseller list for October 26th through November
1st. I made the order proper this time.
Indeed. In 10th place, Dead Man Wonderland, number 5.
9th place, Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 2.
8th place, Naruto, Volume 67.
7th place, Alice in the Country of Joker, Circus and Liars Game, Volume 6.
6th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
Dang. 5th place, Kingdom Hearts, 358 by 2 Days, Volume 4.
4th place, No Matter How I Look at It, It's You Guys' Fault I'm Not Popular, Volume 5.
3rd place, No Game, No Life, Volume 1.
2nd place, Black Butler, Volume 18.
And 1st place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 2.
Yeah, cool. It really is amazing how Attack on Titan is still doing so well. Alright, let's...
Well, considering, you know, little bits of news about Attack on Titan.
Yeah, indeed. Alright, we have... North American anime and manga releases for November 9th through 15th. And let's start off with the anime releases. We've got the Gurren Lagann Blu-ray Volume 1. It's by Aniplex, and it's actually moderately reasonable. It's only $60.
Oh my goodness, they actually... Oh my goodness.
What?
Oh no, that's just the Blu-ray. Oh my goodness, that's pretty good actually, but yeah. Wait, that means one Blu-ray is $60.
Yeah. I paid like 30 to 40 or $50 for the Ghost Sweeper Mikami DVDs. Which, yeah, that's about right. Granted, I am a little ashamed of that because that anime is not all that great, but I love the manga and it's the only way I can own the damn thing.
True.
Yeah, all right.
Remain a devoted fan, dude. Okay. Mm-hmm. Next is High School of the Dead, DVD. New Season 2 for Blu-ray and DVD Complete Series, and also there's a limited edition.
Indeed. This one sounds weird. My mental choices are completely interfering with my school romantic comedy Blu-ray and DVD Complete Collections.
I'm sure it sounds better in Japanese, obviously.
Well, obviously. Didn't you know that everything sounds better in Japanese? Ohio gozaimasu. Let's move on to the... How do you say next in Japanese? I don't actually know how to speak Japanese because
next,
I only watch anime.
I just speak English.
Nexto!
Okay, Patema Inverted Blu-ray and DVD.
Mm-hmm. And, the big one, Sailor Moon Blu-ray and DVD set 1 limited edition as well as the DVD set 1.
Nice.
That's the big one.
Stellar Women's Academy High School Division Class C Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Class C3, you mean?
Class C3, okay, yeah. Alright.
Why not C4?
No.
Time of Eve, the movie, Blu-ray Deluxe Edition and Soundtrack CD, as well as the Time of Eve, the movie, Blu-ray plus Soundtrack CD. Alright, next one.
Welcome to the Space Show for the Blu-ray and DVD.
It sounds like it should be a song.
Yeah, it does.
Welcome to the space show. To the space show. Imagine Dragons are going to sue me. Quick, let's move on. Quick, let's move on before they act.
For manga releases, 007 Ghosts, Volume 13.
Yeah. You interrupted my joke. I was going to say that let's move on before they catch me for an actual copyright infringement as opposed to those jackasses that think that my MP3 files contain the damn manga chapters.
Well, actually, the song Warriors, which was meant to be for the League of Legends competition, I think in, October or something, that song's actually free.
Oh, cool.
If ends up on the radio, I'll be like, oh man, that shouldn't do that at all. You can't make money off a free song.
Yep. Anyway. Let's move on. Air Gear, Volume 32.
And Air Gear, Omnibus 4.
Now, see, with Air Gear, you wanna go and invest in the individual volumes. See, the reason for that is because when you finally decide to burn this fucking piece of shit, the individual volumes have a much better surface area and will burn much faster than the fucking Omnibus.
Okay.
Air Gear can burn in hell, but since I don't believe in hell, it can burn here.
Well, according to the Bible, hell doesn't exist. Well, okay.
Well, according to me, Derek.
Okay, next religion. One, another series that ended some time ago.
Cage of Eden, Volume 16, which that one I'm a little more iffy on because on the one hand it has really excessive fan service while at the same time having either explicit or implied rape in the story, which I'm a little iffy on.
It's basically Lost with Japanese high school kids.
And a lot more TNA, yeah, exactly. It's basically, I don't know, I'll give a quick review of it for the little bit that I have read. It's basically one of those series that, with all of the drama, the crux of the drama is that people are put in a bad situation and then react in the worst way possible, which I'm not a fan of. I really don't like reading stories where, you know, people start acting like animals. I'm honestly, I prefer stories where that doesn't happen, which is why I'm actually enjoy most of Roland Emmerich's movies, because one of the common themes in his movies is the world is ending, but then people decide to act like good, decent people most of the time. And then it's just, you know, heartwarming. So, anyway, what's the next one?
Oh, the Hentai. False Memories, Volume 2.
Full Metal Alchemist, Volumes 25 through 27 Omnibus. Also another reason why you don't want to necessarily invest in the Omnibus editions of certain ones of these. Certain ones like the Kodansha Omnibuses, they're nice, they're good. They're big, they're made out of the same paper that the regular volumes are, but most of the Viz Media Omnibuses, with the exception of the Ranma 1/2 and the Evangelion Omnibuses, the ones for just, you know, series like Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach, and Fullmetal Alchemist, are made of kind of crappy paper, which, if you're someone that's wanting to read it for the first time and get through it with spending the least amount of money, then obviously you'll want the omnibuses, but for collection purposes, I recommend against the most Viz Media omnibuses. Also, I've already started my collection with...
Well, if it's a collection, then what's the point of reading it? You're just going to collect it and just look at the covers.
Oh, I read them. I just like to have them in the nicest, best condition possible.
Yes, but hardcore collectors just buy and they never even open it. I just like to stare at the covers.
I'm not like that. I just like having it. I don't care.
Believe me, there are people who buy video games and actually do that, literally. I'm like,
But that's just stupid. That's like buying one of those limited edition Mountain Dews and then never drinking it because you want it to be a collector's item. I'm like, dude.
Blenders from The Simpsons. What the Beatles sold us.
Yeah. Or it's like, dude, your soda is going to explode. That's why when I bought the One Piece, those Japanese One Piece sodas, you know, the ones with the ball, glass ball.
I love those.
Those, yeah. When I bought those, I drank them. Now I have the bottles. Mm-hmm. Should probably wash the bottles out. But nonetheless, I drank the soda because it doesn't need to be full for it to be a collector's item. I mean, granted, I guess it would be harder to sell it to someone, but I'm not gonna. It's my bottles. what were we talking about?
Next one, Rene, Volume 16.
I really should give that manga a chance. It keeps going! And I'm like... Nobody's going to tell Rumiko Takahashi, of all people, that she's being cancelled. But at the same time, I remember reading it and being like, this is Bleach, but told by Rumiko Takahashi, with all the Ranma 1/2 and, what's the other one? Inuyasha, that's it. Yeah, with all the Ranma 1/2 and Inuyasha tropes in there. And that was at the time when I was a big Bleach fan, and now suddenly I'm like, you know, that's sounding a lot more appealing. Like, a lot more appealing. All right, next one. Samurai Executioner, Volume 3.
What is that? Okay, next. The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 5.
Wait, what? Son of a bitch! Well, I guess I know what we're reading next week. Oh, I was just by Barnes & Noble. I knew I should have stopped there. Oh, well. Showa, 1944 to 1953, A History of Japan, Volume 5.
Tsubasa, Reservoir Chronicle, Omnibus 2.
And it's another series that was big that I keep thinking I should probably check it out. Speaking of things I should check out. Mo?
Your turn to read it.
What? Oh, yes, yes it is. Whoops. UQ Holder, Volume 3.
Yeah, that series. I've been following it on Kodansha, the Crunchyroll ones. And let me just say that I actually am starting to think that the previous one was better, because let's just say that the current villain is getting on my nerves.
Oh,
so I mean, the current villain has their reason, but I'm like, man, really?
So you mean Negima is better than UQ Holder?
in some...
I think that's kind of part of the problem with a lot of manga, is that you start reading a manga and you like what the creator is doing, but then after a while, often what happens is that you get to a point later on down the road where their storytelling style changes and you get to a point where you're like, I don't like this as much. So when they start a new series, you end up reading it and you're like, you know, I don't think I like this as much as the previous one, because it kind of, you know, it continues the storytelling.
I just don't like the current villain. The current villain sounds like a whiny, whatever.
I see. Ugh. So did they ever reveal who the main character's grandmother
is?
No. Son of a bitch. I know.
They got to that, but they're like, nope, teaser. And it's like, oh, well, I don't want, it's like the main character was just like, nah, I don't want. It's like, I don't want to know that. I want to know something else.
Bastards. This is like Legend of Korra and the Fire Lord's mother all over again.
Really?
Yes, I'm like, just like, please, tell us. I know you enjoy teasing. Just tell me.
Oh, sister, gone to Avatar, sister, thinks Legend of Korra.
Yeah. We have absolutely no chance of this taking less than an hour. Let's do the other releases. Next one.
For other releases, I'll just go through it all myself.
Okay,
we have Digimon All-Star Rumble for the PlayStation 3 game. Oh, nice. Senran Kagura, Bon Appetit for the PlayStation Vita game in two parts. Why in two parts, I don't know. Sonic Boom, Rise of Lyric for the Wii U. I heard that game wasn't as good. And Sonic Boom, Shattered Crystal for Nintendo 3DS. And then we have Tales of Heart R for the PlayStation Vita and PlayStation TV.
Indeed.
Interesting. I like the Tales series, but I never could finish them. Not only because my Game Boy Advance one is, you know, the Game Boy Advance system is a very old console now, so I can't even play
it. It's like, why are you still... Well, you can still play it on a DS, and I... One sec.
My DS is dead.
Technically, I think you can play... No, wait. No, you can't play it
my
on a 3DS.
Is so dead because I played so many fighting games on it. Thanks, Bleach. I totally wrecked the left directional pad. Like, I can't even move left on the game anymore.
Yeah.
And the power button won't really turn on. I try and turn on, it's stuck.
I suck at portable gaming. Like, I'll be like, sweet, I spent several hours trying to find where the hell the person that was selling this stupid 3DS was, and now I barely even play it, even though I've bought a couple games.
At least try to finish the One Piece game. At least try to finish the game you bought and finish it. I mean, I should do that.
I bought Unlimited World Red, and I bought whichever one was before that as well. I haven't finished either of them, but I had to delete the first one to make space. Fortunately, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to play through this one, then I'm going to delete it and download the other one again and so on. I should probably just get a bigger memory card. Actually.
You want to go to One Piece? Get a One Piece fighting game for DVD.
Yeah, One Piece World Red is huge. Like, it's like 3 times bigger than the other One Piece game, and it's also much better. Because the other one was like, here, let's tell the entire first chapter of the manga again.
Oh, Romance Dawn.
Yeah, you don't get to play it. You will just watch. As this thing that you know from back when One Piece was not as good as it is now happens, and you can't skip it.
So like, I would have enjoyed it. I would have just left it there and just wait until, okay, when the battle starts.
I was like, okay, move on to the next place. But then I was like, wait a minute, did I miss some fighting in the first one? So I like go back to the first, like the first island, click on it, and it starts playing it again. And I'm like, no, no,
you can't skip it.
Oh,
no option to skip it?
You can skip it by shutting the damn thing off and then turning it back on.
So you can't going skip to the it. You've definitely done it before. That's
well, you can skip it by pressing the accept button very fast, but...
Because I think many gamers were very, very happy once other game publishers were able to like put in the whole, you can skip this scene. Yeah!
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. All right. That's enough about games. Let's talk about other... Stuff.
Yes, other news. Since it's Naruto ending, I might as well give it a little acknowledgement.
Why do you have so much damn Naruto news?
Because I want to get it all out of my system.
I got it out of my system.
I have to get it out of my system.
I got it out of my system. Don't put it back, you damn enabler.
I'm getting it out of my system, okay?
jackass.
I want to make sure this is the last week we ever talk about anything Naruto related, unless it comes up for some reason, out of whatever reason.
Yeah, the reason being, oh, hey, look, a spinoff manga. Fuck you guys.
Yes, yes. And this the first one starts off with, So, remember how they were saying Naruto's gonna end, and it'll just end indefinitely? We were, of course, lied to. There's a spinoff manga. And I sincerely hope that the spinoff manga will be a monthly series, and it won't be weekly, because that'd be stupid if it's only going to last about, what, 30 chapters, I think he said?
Well, that's a month. Oh, no, sorry, that's not a month.
That's about...
Daily chapters! Woo! Kill him! Kill him from overwork!
Daily.
I don't hate Naruto that much. You don't have to do that to Kishimoto. Actually, wait, I do hate it that
As
much.
I said, monthly, if they're really smart, they would put monthly.
Well, obviously.
If they're really smart. If they're going to be doing weekly, you know what that means? It means that Kishimoto can't do anything else, and plus, the series is going to be burned out really fast.
Yeah, I doubt they'll do it weekly, because it's a spinoff, it's not a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, I'm pretty sure Kishimoto wants to just take a step back and... have a lighter load. The man's got a lot of money. He's in a position where he can have a lot of money without working for a bit. So if he's going to insist on working, he better make it so that he doesn't have to do quite the same strenuous schedule.
So yes, this miniseries is apparently part of that Naruto's new air opening project that they were teasing about. I'm like, oh.
I really don't care what it's about, nor do I care for its existence, because I did my time. Naruto can go burn in hell as for all I care. I'm not going back. The main series was a piece of shit, more on that later. I'm not going to waste my time on the spin-offs just because a bunch of sheep think it's actually good.
Alright, okay, you know, moving on. So, yeah, so apparently Naruto invoked his childhood.
You mean Kishimoto?
Yes. Yes. And apparently, interview states that it supposedly broke Shonen format. I'm like, okay, the only format it may have broken was in the very beginning with the whole, we're not going to do fights all the time, we're going to do strategy. And after that, it just went bonkers.
Yeah, it... Again, we'll get to that more, but I mean, by the end, it was, this is bog-standard Shonen. The only thing different is that he actually resolves the pairings, piss poorly, I might add, and then does an epilogue where he shows the next generation, which most shonen manga don't do, and I can appreciate that if it weren't so awful. More on that later.
Even though it's anime related, the movie actually takes place between the last two chapters.
Yeah.
And the so-called movie is apparently his excuse for saying, I was afraid to write romance in the series, so I kept it out. So instead, I'll just put it in the movie, and then I'm like, well, at least we don't have to give a crap.
It's so unsatisfying. It's so damn fucking unsatisfying. Again, more on that later.
Okay, now here's something more fun. Okay, so the Shonen Jump manga creators... they have comments about sending off Naruto, and some of these comments are pretty funny.
Oh?
Should I read them, or should I just read the ones that, I mean, to be honest, some of these comments are going to appear later on anyway, in the author comments.
Read the ones that don't appear later.
Okay.
Or at least some of them.
This is the one by Yusei Matsue. It's an honor to be present to witness the last set of such large footprints, Kishimoto-sensei. Really, you've done a great job. Next one, Yudai Kimura. It's an honor to have my work be published in such a celebrated issue. I'm waiting for comments on my work. Kohei Horikoshi, Naruto is my youth itself. Thank you so much for creating the best shonen manga. Of course, he's being nice. I know that.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things where I'm sitting here thinking, are these people being nice, or do they really not realize what a wretched pile of horse shit this manga was? Because if it's the latter, I'm worried about the future of manga.
Yes, and that's kind of where my rant in some other thread went up, and I was pretty much just put down. Anyways, moving on. Okay,
Naruto fans are idiots. I don't care if you're an Naruto fan and you're listening to this. Go away!
Okay, Kawada. I read... Since I was a student, it was my item of admiration. Kishimoto-sensei, good job after working so long. Hideaki Sorachi, The exit of the shinobi was truly elegant, like the wind Kishimoto sent. I'm saying goodbye to Naruto. Believe it. I'm gonna take that with a grain of salt. That's just hilarious. Shuichi Aso. That's interesting name. This week's author's comment section seems like it's going to be crazy. That's Kishimoto Sensei, good job after so long. Haruichi Furudate, it was an honor to collaborate at the Anime Festa. Naruto's coolness is my admiration. Moving on. Okay, Shinsuke Kondo, I respect the work that became the bridge for Jump for the past 15 years from the bottom of my heart. Kishimoto Sensei, good work for so long. Okay, Ryo Nakama. I think the young manga creators are currently passionate in trying to succeed in Naruto. I'll do my best as well.
Guys?
You don't have to try that hard.
It's not that bad. Good. It really, we'll go into the details later. One of these days, probably a couple years down the road, we will go through and critique the entire damn series. We've had a chance to...
You know, the comments are nice, but, you can read these on MA News Network. Just look up Shonen Jump Manga Creators Also Send Off Naruto Comments. There. I can't read them all. I'm not feeling so well myself right now.
Oh, dear. Naruto, you are experiencing, I will die if I hear more Naruto praise.
Okay, Ryo.
Indeed. What else do we have?
After the news, Shonen Jump one-shot mangas are going to get full series.
Cool.
One of them is going to be about ping pong, the other is going to be about a sexy robot girl. I know what I'm interested in reading.
The ping pong one?
Clearly, the ping pong one.
Indeed. Yes. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I can't do that. There we go.
Seriously, the robot one sounds pretty good, though. But I didn't even finish that one.
It's like Chobits with none of the subtlety. And this is fucking Chobits we're talking about.
Chobits. I call it Persicom because Coach.
Yes.
I don't know why I call it Persicom.
All right.
How bad I am at remembering something. Okay, and the last bit of news. Attack on Titan. Cast are remanaged as students on the Brutus magazine. And the magazine also features an interview with Hajime Isayama about the female Titan versus the Avengers crossover comic. Okay, now here's the thing about this cover. I look, and I see, I'm not surprised Levi and Zoe are not in there, but where's Armin? Armin confirmed to be dead. I'm kidding, but where's Armin?
Indeed.
I mean, he's main enough, isn't he?
He is.
Alongside Eren and Mikasa?
He's main enough, but is he man enough?
That's horrible.
Yes, it is.
I don't know what I just said there.
My comedy is I throw things at the wall. Whatever sticks, sticks. usually the bad ones are the ones that end up on the audience's face. Anyway, that's that. That's it for the news. Shall we talk about our manga reviews for the week?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start off with Nisekoi Volume 6, shall we?
Yeah. Let's just do that.
All right. So this one kind of picks up. You get the end, the tail end of the, of all the stuff at the beach, and then of course you pick up with Onodera, who asked Raku, "Would you kiss me?" And Chitoge overheard it.
Yes, she did.
And then Onodera is just freaking out, but it turns out Raku was asleep because he's been so exhausted all day, and Onodera's face when she realizes that he didn't hear her is absolutely priceless.
That's my face too, because I would have punched him.
Yeah, I was like, I am dead inside. And then, of course, he manages to, Naoshikomi manages to get away with the whole Chitoge overheard joke by having it actually be she couldn't actually hear them because they were so far away. She heard her say, "Would you eat kimchi?" That is quite possibly the best fake out I have ever seen. It's still a frickin' fake out, but it's the best. And from there, you basically have Chitoge realizing she's actually in love with Raku, getting angry at Raku because he still thinks they're still faking it, and when she says, if we really dated, would we actually get along and whatnot? And he's still thinking they're going with the, you know, fake and thinking she still hates him. He's like, oh, of course not. And of course that pisses her off, so she...
Hey, it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, the way she'd been acting previously, he thought she still couldn't stand him. But, you know, she spends the rest of the time being angry at them. We have the school... We have the school play with, where they do Romeo and Juliet. And, of course, like... Again, it's really freaking hilarious that these volumes get released at the same time as the Ranma 1/2 omnibuses. Because wasn't it last volume of Ranma 1/2 where we got their version?
They were doing the Romeo
and Juliet. I know, I'm like, Nisekoi, you freaking ripoff. But at the same time, they go... Just, it goes overboard in other ways, mm-hmm. You know? It's just like, there's just a bunch of, you know, Shu does the whole interfering and changing everything around and just making things harder for the Raku and Onodera.
Yeah.
Not Raku and Onodera, Chitoge, because Onodera, who is originally the Juliet, ends up hurting herself, so they have to bring Chitoge along, and... It is hilarious because they pull the I don't actually know my lines joke that they did in Ranma 1/2 as well, except instead this time it's the girl instead of the guy. So it's that's one of the weird things, and one of the things that may turn people off from Nisekoi is that there are so many blatant parallels between Nisekoi and Ranma 1/2 that one would be forgiven for thinking that it was a complete ripoff, and yet at the same time the comedy and entertainment just works on its own, you know, compared to, you know, it's not, you know, you don't think, read it and think, oh, this is a ripoff of Ranma 1/2. No, you read it and think, this is a little bit like Ranma 1/2. That's weird, kind of funny in its own way. But yeah, after the play, they make up, and then... Let's see, and then that big plot line is over, and we get back to Chitoge finally fully deciding, realizing, oh, I'm in love with Raku, now what am I going to do? And then we get back to the lock, find out, well, the lock's kind of broken still, I think. That was it, right? Yep, still broken, so they can't open it. And, yeah, and then we get one of those chapters where it's, you know... Something, you know, Claude has some kind of weird invention. In this case, it's a briefcase that they need to open, but it's got Chitoge's three sizes in it, you know, bust, hip, waist, and hip. And so Raku, and they're having a physical exam, so Raku keeps trying to figure out, you know, he keeps trying to figure out what it is, you know, what her sizes are by looking them over. There's, of course, the boob jokes with all the girls measuring Tatsumi's bust. And their reaction is actually kind of hilarious, where they look at the size and they're like, whoa! They all just stare at her and just start clapping. And then the best part of it is, of course, is that after all his attempts to try and look up her data, Raku just decides, you know what, I'm just going to go ask her. So he just rushes... He doesn't realize that the girls are still changing, so he rushes into the girls' changing room while they're all changing and yells, I need your waist hips, your chest waist hips measurements, while all the girls are standing around in various states of undress, which isn't exaggerated for fan service. Fortunately, it's there for comedy, because that is an awkward situation, as Chitoge and Raku's expressions so very clearly define. That was the face for me. Just that I don't even know how to describe it. Just the look that Chitoge gives Raku when upon hearing it. It's like she can't believe what she's hearing, mixed in with just I can't.
But wait, which chapter just happened in?
The second to last one.
Oh.
And of course, the follow-up to that is absolutely fantastic, as we see a bruised and beaten and bleeding Raku hanging upside down.
Oh, the physical ropes. The physical exam.
Yes, that. And just like this label of, I'm a pervert on it. And then, of course, Chitoga is just casually, oh, so that's what was going on. Why didn't you just tell me? It's like, you never would have believed me. But then it turns out it doesn't work, and the two crooks tell them, oh, it's actually Claude's three sizes. And you're just like, oh.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those, this is like, I think one of the early chapters of Claude causes problems for someone. I can't remember if we'd had any previous ones like this with Tsugumi before.
Usually Tsugumi's involved, causes problems, because she
usually
gets mixed up into it.
But with this one, it makes a lot more sense to have Raku be the one, because, you know, it's just more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the last one where basically you get the horoscope, and Raku's horoscope is, today's your lucky day. Be proactive, and you might find yourself suddenly extra close to that special someone in your life. While Onodera hers is, you'll be tormented by terrible luck. Stay away from that special someone unless you want misfortune to befall them too.
That's horrible!
So it's Raku constantly trying to get closer to Onodera, and Onodera just trying to avoid him and hating it. And there's a pretty great one where there's like in the scene where they're in the science lab where he gives Onodera the handout and she's like, oh, thanks, and scoots away from him. He sits down at the table next to her and she just scoots away to the other side. And of course she manages to blow up the experiment. Raku gets burned. She's all, oh, no. And then... Yeah, and then it's basically him trying to get closer to her while she's running away.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's that face he made. He's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and he tries to share his food. He's like, I made stewed konnyaku today, but I made too much. Would you like some? And Onodera's like, oh, And then Rui says, oh, I'm sorry, but konnyaku is the one food that she can't stand. You're like, oh! Oh, you poor kids. And then she almost falls down the stairs, but Raku saves her, and it ends on a touching note. Yep, and yeah, so that was that's basically it. There's some sketch, there's some interesting, there's some little extras at the end, which are basically just little sketch comics, which... I don't know. It's like, it's not necessarily just done in pencil, but it's more like, you know, a comic where, like a sketch that was inked, ultimately, but the screen tones weren't applied. So it's kind of got that sort of faded look that, I don't know. I can see why they don't do this for manga, because it's really hard to read without any proper tones. But the first one is basically, you know, someone in a bunny mascot costume going around doing stuff and being amazing. And then it turns out it was Ruri.
Because Ruri's amazing.
And then you got, another another little chapter, which is basically Marika being terrified of the animals. And especially, with the snake. And he's like, oh, are you crazy? Get that away from me. And Chitoga says... You know, Raku loves these animals like his own children. She's like, oh, what a lovely snake. What's your name, Snakey? And she's holding it, beaming, being all happy, while her lower body is just quivering. Yeah. She's like, I guess I'm going to have to give her props for this. Me too. This is a bit of a mixed bag volume, I have to
say. Yeah, this volume, I was very, very, very against reading it. I still read it because, well, I have to read it.
Yeah, why? What exactly was in this volume that you just could not stand?
The drama. Drama with Chitoge, especially with how, you know, I mean, it's for more of how she treated Raku, thinking that it's all Raku's fault. And I'm just like, how is it his fault when the whole time you guys were just pretending, yes, you may fall in love with him, but he doesn't know that. He doesn't even know he knows that. He doesn't know because you can't let him know that. And you're making him seem like he's the one at fault.
Indeed.
That's what made it uncomfortable for me, because I would have been okay if, you know, it was something else, but just, oh god, hate reading this volume.
I have to say, this one, I did not like the
until
drama.
Until the play started.
Yeah. I did not like the drama because, well, drama is not Nisekoi's strong point.
No, it isn't.
And so it felt very fake and everything, you know, it just didn't feel right.
It felt forced. You know? I mean, seriously, if you totally get mad at Raku, your stuff, he says, oh, I don't really like you. I mean, we're just fake thing anyway. And she gets mad, I'm like, really?
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that we're taking something that usually is played for laughs, and now we're supposed to take it seriously. It's kind of hard to take the Chitoga is mad at Raku seriously, and it's a very strong tonal shift that doesn't really work, in my opinion. However, I do feel that the volume this isn't the read this volume once so that you know the story and then avoid it. No, this still has plenty of funny stuff. All the non-story chapters, the ones that are just amusing, you know, and funny and everything. Like the play is hilarious, and then everything after the play is really fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely one of the ones where you may be tempted to put it away if you don't like the drama, but at the same time, there is plenty in the end and in between as well that is funny enough that I enjoy reading it.
And this volume kind of pretty much signals the end of the first year, I think, wasn't it?
More or less. I think.
Oh, no, it's just the spring. It's the spring ending. I think it's just the spring ending, yeah.
Well, let's see. It's chapters.
No, it hit summer, so.
Wait. It's up to 53. Yeah, well.
No, the timeline of the story.
Oh, the timeline of the story? I think it's the first year, except I don't recall. Wait. It's been a while since I've been in school, but isn't it you. When does the new school year start? Does it start after the winter break or after the summer break?
New school year for Japan, I think, tends to start in spring.
Does it? Okay, in that case.
I think so. Because they always say, oh, the springtime, new year. I'm like, okay, yeah, ours is fall, so we don't give a crap.
We could probably look it up, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Ranma 1/2, omnibus containing volumes 9 and 10. And I have to say, we're moving on at a surprisingly bit heavy, quick pace.
Thank goodness.
Yep. There's a lot of content in here, so let's just kind of go over the main points. We, of course, have the classic... the classic... Akane cooks cookies, Ranma doesn't want to eat them, Kodachi steals them and manages to get a picture of the two of them in a compromising position... And so we spend a good chunk of time dealing with that story where Ranma has to get the pictures back. And he ends up eating, and Akane is all pissed because he won't eat her cookies. And he ends up eating her cookies just to make her happy. And then ends this chapter with him bent over, clutching his stomach while Genma and Kasumi are trying to treat him. And he's like, Ranma, are you feeling all right? He must have eaten something horrible. And Akane, this time I was sure I had it right.
Actually, the funny thing about Akane is that this particular volume actually did define her why she's a bad cook, because when Kasumi was teaching her, Kasumi, the best cook of them all, was teaching her, she was just doing something. I was like, no, that's not what you put in cookies.
Yeah, it is kind of, I mean, granted, I think at one point she put salt in there. I'm like, granted, you want to put salt in there, but not that much. You don't put as much salt as you put sugar in there, you know?
Yeah.
But, and then we move on to, quite possibly the best part, the introduction of Ukyo Kwonji.
Yes!
And we get the grudge match between him and Ukyo, the discovery that Ukyo is a girl, and then the story of how Genma stole her family's food cart. And then it does the right thing by continuing her story a little bit, by she gets involved with Ryoga and is trying to use him to break up Ranma and Akane, and Ranma gets involved and pretends to be Ryoga's fiance, and there was a ship born this day, because the interaction between Ryoga and Ukyo is as entertaining as the interaction between Ranma and Akane. Sadly, the author did not agree, so those two do not end up together, but thank goodness for ambiguous endings where fans can say, screw you, I'm making my own ending. That's also kind of topical for this week. But anyway, yeah, we get through that, and then, yeah, so you get that, takes up quite a chunk of space, and then you get the story where they go to the beach with the pearls, where you swallow one pearl, and the first person you see you fall in love with, and there's different amounts of time that it lasts for.
Wait, the pearl? I thought the pill.
Well, it was like, no, they were like these pearls that were on the bracelet. At least I'm pretty sure they
were. Why would you swallow a pearl? That's the only clams and oysters that will swallow
pearls. You can swallow a pearl, you just probably shouldn't. Although, I mean, it is biomaterial, so, I mean, it would eventually be digested. But I think, because, like, wasn't there, like, I don't know, some decadent royalty, Romans or Egyptians or whatever in the past used to eat them in vinegar, I think. Although that may just be an invention by Asterix and Obelix. Most of my history comes from comic books.
Comic books.
That's why I was massively surprised when I discovered that there wasn't a tribe of Amazon women in China. I was somewhat disappointed.
Amazonians came from the Amazon forest.
They're Greek. But yeah, that's kind of what got me the first time, where I was like, wait, Amazons in China? What? But yeah, anyway, you've got that whole story with Ranma, you know, with Ranma swallowing the pill and accidentally falling in love with Cologne. Pretending to swallow the pill and looking at Akane and making fun of her, and then swallowing the pill and falling in love with Cologne, and it's freaking hilarious to see the other girl's reactions. Fortunately, only it lasts a little bit, and he goes into shock when he realizes he was about to elope with Cologne. And then, of course, Akane swallows it, and they have to avoid her. She swallows the lifetime pill, or something, or at least they think she does. And then they have to avoid it. Yeah, and then of course you got Ranma trying to keep her from seeing any guys. And of course Ryoga shows up. And of course Kuno shows up. And then finally he decides, you know what? I'll sacrifice myself for you and make you fall in love with me instead. At least so you don't fall in love with some weirdo. But yeah, she went by knocking her out, the pill. The pill was knocked out. And then we get the reintroduction of Moose.
Reintroduction of Moose, and I read out like, wait, did he actually appear in this? Oh, he did. He just didn't have much of a focus last time.
Yeah, true. He didn't stick around long. But yeah, he's part of a circus. He kidnaps Akane, but it's actually just a stuffed pig. And of course, you got the running joke of Ranma's like, Akane, what are you doing here? And Akane's like, would you kindly cut it out? And of course, then you get the fight between Moose and Ranma. It turns out he fell into the pool of drowned duck, and now he's got the water, and he's trying to turn Ranma into a drowned duck, or other people, or Akane, or he's just kind of indiscriminately throwing them around.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty funny scene where some kids almost get splashed by the water, and Ranma saves them, but then the goldfish gets splashed by the water. It turns like, hey, duck catching. Let's try it. And then you got the showdown between Ranma and Moose, ultimately, where... No, wait, sorry, I'm getting confused. No, it's first you've got Akane get splashed by the water, and Ranma's like, oh no, she's a duck, oh no, and is like, I'm going to go, I need to take her home and turn her back, but then she doesn't, and they do the whole wedding thing. It's like, oh, you, it's like, take care of my little girl, you have to marry her, because I don't even know why they're just like, Ranma, your fiancé is now a duck, marry her.
I don't
her.
Know why they like, went with it at all.
Yeah.
I was like, if Hallmark doesn't turn her back, it means she's not a duck, you know.
But of course.
She's not really a duck, she's actually a duck itself.
Yeah, but of course, the hose that she was sprayed with wasn't actually the water from the spring, and he's like,
stupid enough to waste the water.
Yeah, Moose is like, I'm not turning Akane into a duck. I want to turn Ranma into a duck. And here, with his last of the Yazu Nichuan water, And then, of course, Akane kicks it, and it turns him into a duck. He's like, well, he's out of water. I just love... That's one of the things that I just love about Rumiko Takahashi, is how she has this sort of very casual way of sight derailing plots, where it's like the character will be, aha, my secret plan, and then just someone will just casually whack the thing they needed out of their hands.
That's why I liked her humor the best.
It is pretty hilarious. And, yep, and then you get the final showdown between Ranma and Moose, and it's Moose trying to fight with all these weapons provided by Shampoo, who he thinks is on his side, but she's actually just throwing bombs at him and trying to get him beat up, and then he fights hard, but in the end, Ranma defeats him. And, yep. And then, let's see, and then we also get Tsubasa, the introduction of Tsubasa,
who... Oh my god, that
shows
that
up like that once. Yeah. It shows up just at once. They do the whole who's cuter and can sell more. And then, of course, you've got the twist that we are not revealing, because it is hilarious. And it was the first time I watched in the anime, I was like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
When I saw in the movie, I was like, who's this character? And I read this manga. I was like, oh, that totally makes sense.
And so you're like, oh gosh, why? that's oh boy.
Yep. Yeah, revealing it. No point revealing it.
Yeah, that was Ranma 1/2, volumes 9 and 10. And those were some fantastic chapters. I mean, Ranma 1/2 at about... around this time is when we're getting into the ones that I think are most remembered, mostly because...
Yes, this one.
With the because these were the episodes that the anime covered quite faithfully. And a lot of what... You know, a lot of this was stuff that I watched because... the way TV worked was they only had a certain number of episodes, and then they started from the beginning again.
My older sister actually had a VHS of the episodes where Ukyo first appeared. And then when I tried to find it years ago when I was, I think it was in middle school or high school, she told me, oh, she lent it to a friend, and that friend moved away and never returned. I'm like, I hate your friend.
Yeah, what I also
Ukyo's my favorite.
Yeah, what I also find... Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, what I also... She seems the most... normal of the of the fiancés, and that's keeping in mind the fact that she fights with food. But nonetheless, one thing that really stood out here after, you know, because I mean, when I first read and watched Ranma 1/2, I was like, oh my gosh, there's nudity in this cartoon / comic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whoa, that is so unusual.
I saw it when I was 5, okay?
Yeah, and now...
No big deal for me anymore.
Rereading it, years later, after having read other manga, I can appreciate how, despite the fact that Ranma 1/2 has nudity, it is really not sexualized, you know?
It only really focuses on the main character being the girl, that's it. Cause right.
You know, there's plenty of scenes where if this were a modern manga, we would have gotten a nice big view of Gazungas. Like, you know, the scene where Ryoga is fighting Ukyo and doesn't realize she's a girl... And then her top gets cut.
Yeah.
And reveals her bound chest with a little bit of cleavage there to show that, yes, those are breasts. Almost pretty much every other modern manga would have included the bands get cut as well. And now here have this two-page spread of the massive boobs as they are shoved in Ryoga's face, and he doesn't stop in midair, but he actually trips and face plants in them. You know, any modern manga would probably do that.
That's Total Love Report.
Yeah, and even Nisekoi to a certain extent, because with one of the, last week's chapter, you had the bit with Tsugumi in a similar outfit with a binding.
Oh, yeah.
That comes undone, and, you know, it's not a full page or anything like that. It's just a pretty small panel, but... It is more sexualized than it is in here, mostly because you see more. But it's just, you just got to appreciate how, and I'll probably do like a thesis statement kind of deal on this later. Nudity. It's like the spin-off of Bobo. Nudity. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that nudity does not necessarily equal sexual. The showing of nipples does not necessarily make something more sexy than the girl in a ridiculously sexualized pose slash situation, but it's one of those manga that has, like, steam covering the nipples or whatnot. You know, one, or, like, a scene with, you know, or say, for example, what would be more sexual? One of the panels that shows one of the girls nude, like shampoo or Ranma or whatever, or a panel in a modern manga, and I'm sure this exists somewhere, where, let's say, for example,
the steam
a girl
covers them. Yeah, that's more sexy.
I'm gonna be more exaggerated here.
Okay.
What I mean is, say for example, one where a girl is fully clothed except she shows cleavage, and she's eating a popsicle, which then falls and lands between her breasts. For example.
Oh my god! I think there's actually a manga that does that.
Probably. I'm not making this up. But you know, that is a lot more sexualized.
Yeah, it is.
It's, you know, it's because, you know, it's the innuendo of, oh, hey, look, this phallic-looking object is between her breasts. Huh? Can you guess what that is? It's like, I'm 28 years old. Yes, I can guess what that is. Person writing for 14-year-olds. For shame. If given the choice, and I don't have kids, eventually I may, and if said kids follow my preferences and like manga as much as I do, I would probably feel a lot more comfortable letting them read Ranma 1/2 than I would even necessarily Nisekoi, which Nisekoi is not a all of the fan service, but every once in a while you get those chapters that focus on how big
Yumi's chest is. They do like cooking. They go,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, son, I heard you like cooking.
Exactly.
Why don't you read this? I'm not letting you read it.
Yeah, that's a really good example. It's like, you know, there are certain manga that I wouldn't let a child of mine read. Ranma 1/2 is one of those ones where I would be iffy about it, but I would feel better about them reading it because I would like them to be introduced to the fact that nudity does not necessarily mean sex or whatever. But granted, it's probably one of those ones that would be better off reading after being a teenager, just because hormones and all that. I know for a fact that when I first read Ranma 1/2, I had many a moment where I was like, ooh, look at that sexy panel. And then years later, I'm like, well, I was naive when it came to what fan service.
Yeah, years later for me, I'm just looking, I'm like, you know, all those new parts were actually wrong only. I'm so glad I was not aroused by that.
Indeed. Granted, there's like in, was it, in like chapter, part 13 of the beach story, where it does show shampoo in kind of a more sexualized pose, which is a very sexy drawing, but at the same time, she's fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, rated R movies aren't necessarily bad to watch, depending on the content, just like PG-13 movies aren't necessarily good to watch, depending on the content, and sexual content isn't all the same, shall we say.
Also, if I'll leave on the last note with the volume here, times have changed. This was published back in, what, the 80s, I think. So in the 80s, they were more open about the nudity and stuff, I guess, back then with Dragon Ball and stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, we can't show nudity, we're just sexual. Like,
something.
Oh, that just makes it worse, actually.
Something has definitely changed in the past 30 years where there is a much bigger obsession or, you know, well, I guess it may not necessarily be true, but it feels like there is a much bigger obsession with fan service, and a lot of things that necessarily wouldn't have been sexualized in the past are being sexualized. And where that influence necessarily comes from is, you know, is it, you know, Western influence being all, oh, look, naked bodies, that's sexy, that's hot. And then the Japanese going, oh, you're right, that is hot. We will now be obsessed with them instead of being casual towards nudity the way our culture was before. Probably not the case, but something happened. And if somebody has an answer as to why.
I totally want to study, dedicate my life to study that, except I don't want to.
I will study the development of Japanese perversion. Mo, don't do it.
I'm a professor, okay. I'm kidding. I won't do it. I'm not that long.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's.
But yeah, these three volumes were actually okay. Even though I was not really all cool with the Meat Boy one, but it still wasn't that bad to read. I mean, at least it made sense. It didn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. Oh man, I think my headphones are going. I'm starting to get static when you talk.
Oh.
I don't think it's the actual recording. I just think it's my headphones are acting up. But I'll ignore it for now. Actually, okay. Wait one sec. Keep talking. I'm going to go swap out headphones.
All right. So I guess I'll just talk about since I was not around and talk about the Nisqually volume. Okay, yes, as I said, I do hate Volume 6 because of how the drama just came out in such a very, it just came out in a very forced way that I just didn't like it. I mean, to be honest, I didn't like Shitoge at all that much. I was getting to like her, but then when her whole, I'm in love with him, and then it just becomes all, you're just totally confusing. It just paints women, teenage women for me. Especially in the really bad light. I mean, I'm sure there are many Nisqually haters out there, and they may have actually decided to hate it because they read this chapter like that. It's just making. Oh, they probably already hate it from the very beginning once they read the first few chapters, but this may have cemented it for them. And. Yeah. And yet somehow it just. Yeah, like I said, the drama just felt forced. I just didn't like it. And. But thankfully, the whole play turned out nicely, though.
Indeed. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps things up there for the manga reviews. Let's take a quick break before we move on to the next segment, shall we?
All right.
It's time for the manga commentary for issue 50 of Weekly Shonen Jump for the week of the 10th of November, 2014. And starting off, we have Naruto, chapter 699, and we will also go over chapter 700, because, there is the fact that for some reason they decided to put it right at the end of the volume, which I guess that kind of makes sense, but...
They started us off also with the second last chapter in the very beginning, so they just want to go, woo! Naruto is so great. We're gonna start off with it. We're gonna start the last chapter, the second last chapter, with the first, and then the last chapter will be at the very end. But before the final chapter, we have the second, first chapter before the final chapter.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I do have to say, if it were to end with chapter 699, that I could have probably lived with, because it's kind of got, the symbolic Naruto giving Sasuke his headband back and everything. And there's a lot of, characters kind of just sort of thematically wrapping up the final, the final conflict and everything. And it's all right, sort of, except that apparently we're meant to take Naruto and Hinata standing next to each other at Neji's funeral as the answer to, hey, remember when Hinata confessed to Naruto and he never mentioned it again? This is the answer to that.
Yeah.
They're just standing next to each other, and it's so stupid. But anyway, let's talk about the actual final chapter, because that's what's fucking stupid.
Oh, yes. We're starting with this one. Okay.
I want to get rid of this. It's
okay.
It's basically, if you didn't like the Harry Potter epilogue, you're not gonna like this, because it's
or the Digimon.
It is fan fiction writing at its absolute worst. This is the kind of crap that you would see from some random fan that says, I'm going to write the sequel to Naruto with the next generation. It feels exactly like that, and it is amazing at how awful it is. I mean, granted, there may be some amusement in seeing what happened to the characters like 20 years in the future or whatnot.
She knows a teacher.
Yeah.
The bug guy, the bug guy that really ever did anything.
Yeah, I was about to say, wait, what about Shino? And I was like, oh, he's just right in the beginning there. One sec, I've got... Oh, I... I have to say, I am going to murder the person that decided that video ads was a good idea on regular websites. Because you can't have a website open without some jackass video ad playing.
Are you talking about Skype, right?
No, I'm talking about my fucking browser. Somewhere there's a video and I can't find it.
I hate that.
And one sec. I need to find this. It's like it's still playing. And like every time I pull up the every time I pull up something here, the video disappears. It won't tell me whether it's, you know, where the stupid ad is coming from. I don't know if it shows up in the audio recording, but oh, there it is. Whatever this ad is for. There it is. There it fucking is. And I don't understand. It's always on the stupid websites that do the that play videos. Like, I go there to watch a video and these fucking morons with their fucking sites decide that they're going to start playing some stupid video.
No, look, if I go watch Hulu, I let them play the video and I leave it be, but if it starts playing somewhere else, that's when I'm starting pissed. Because it's like, why are you playing it somewhere else if I can't find it other than to just piss me off and somehow make easy money without me being able to stop?
There we go.
Because if I can just stop it, I should be able to just say, hey, I don't want to see pay money for this crap.
Stop the... Okay, the static was starting to come back again, so no talk right now. Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's continue with the podcast after all this technical trouble that is making me already angrier than I am. Anyway, this epilogue, we get to see who ends up with who, and that's going to point you a point of contention we're going to get to. But before we do that, let's just talk about some of the other stuff, such as, I know you love this one. Turns out that Anko is still alive, but she also put on some weight.
Because when the world's at peace, what's the best thing to do other than just eat and eat? Well, she loves her dangle.
Well, granted, that was her only character trait, that she likes to eat dangle. And, yep. And we also... Yeah, we... Let's see. What else do we get? We get... Let's see, for the first one, we get an implication that I guess Lee and Tenten ended up together, I think. It's kind of hard to tell. All I know is that Lee is training a kid that looks exactly like him. And immediately after that, we see Tenten in a weapon shop. And that's it. So, oh well. Let's see, and then we go from there. We get to see that Shikamaru and Temari ended up together, so... I'm sure a lot of fans are happy about that, since that was the only relationship that seems like it actually got any decent kind of development in the series that wasn't stupid. We get to see that Kiba ended up with some random woman that likes cats. And that's it. That's all we get from him, and I'm like, oh dear, that's weird. We get to see that Sai and Ino ended up together, which is kind of obvious considering... Ino was all about, you know, was always flirting with Sai anytime they were there because he looked like Sasuke. But at the same time, you have to feel bad for Sai because you just know for a fact that she did not end up falling in love with him for himself. She ended up with him because he looks like Sasuke, and that's pretty awful. And also, I have to say that they produced quite possibly the ugliest child in existence. Sai's skin tone with her hair. That's horrifying. That's absolutely horrifying. It's like it's a freaking zombie with a hair dye job. You still there, Mo? And of course, there continues to be problems. Well, anyway, let's see. Who else do we get? Oh yeah. Okay, now here's the one that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Apparently, Choji ended up hooking up with, what's her name? Kaori. K-A-R-U-I. I'm not sure how I'm meant to pronounce that. Which, I have to say, is quite possibly the most random pairing ever. because those two never interacted, and I do have to say, I'll give
Kishimo you... sucks at writing female characters. Yeah, I put it like, I just put it, okay. I just said it. I
have
just
you
said
been it. Talking this entire time, or did you just get back?
I had to take out the trash, sorry.
I gotcha. Well, anyway, I was just talking about how, yeah, about how Choji ended up with Kari, the girl with the red hair and the darks and the brown skin from the, what is it, Thunder Village or something? I don't know.
Her name, her the mother's name's Karui. I'm like, yeah. Oh, wait, that one whose brother was that guy. I don't, why did the Thunder Village people matter except the Raikage and Killer B?
Relax. We're not angry yet. This is trivial bullshit that doesn't matter.
And
I have to say, geez, set the tone, jeez. But I do have to say, that I am amused by the absolute random nature of this pairing. It makes no sense. They never interacted. But at the same time, what's nice about it is that it implies that things happened between the last chapter and this time period, you know? Because a lot of these pairings are like, nothing happened in between the end of the manga versus this epilogue chapter thingy. You know, all the people that ended up together were people that had been in relationships or had inklings, beginnings of relationships back then. This is the only one that suggests, hey, at some point, these two people met and fell in love. And honestly, the story of how those two ended up together would be infinitely more fascinating than anything else we got here. But we also get to see that Kurenai and Asuna's child was a girl who is now an adult herself. And yeah, we get to see that Asuna turned out to be a MILF even 20 years later. We also
and Kurenai,
yes. Oh, did I say
you are horrible, so you are horrible.
I'm an idiot. Oh, jeez. Sorry, names. I hate names. We also get to see Kakashi as an old man and Guy as an old man in a wheelchair. We also get to see the previous Kages, which I do not know how what's-his-face, the short one, is still alive.
Onoki?
Yeah, it's like, how are you still alive?
And, I'm old.
Yep.
Or
and we,
just as I guess.
We also get to find out that poor Mei ended up single, which, and Tsunade looks exactly the same as she ever did, which...
She looks younger.
She does kind of, yeah. Well, still abusing that power, her ability. I also kind of like Mei's design because, I don't know, it's like she's still an attractive character design, but at the same time, it looks like she's put on a little bit of weight with age, but not to any comical extent, which is actually kind of fun, you know, that kind of character design. And then we see that we then see Naruto and Shikamaru and Shizune are there. Shikamaru basically looks the same as he ever did, but with a goatee.
Shikamaru looks like his dad.
Pretty much. What's especially hilarious is how, hey, Naruto is doing his work on a computer, which, what time period is this crap meant to be taking place in? I don't know. But not only that, he has a MacBook. This is the exact same computer that I am recording this podcast on. That's hilarious.
I think Kishimoto is mocking him.
Probably. Yeah, I also have to...
How do you know it's a MacBook?
Because it's... Well, okay, granted, I guess there are some that look
I've never used a MacBook.
It looks very similar. It's the very typical gray color and that sort of the general key outline, which it looks like one. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah, my laptop's black, so that's why I don't know what it looks like.
We also see Moegi and what's his face?
Udon,
yeah. I kind of like Udon's design because he looks nothing like himself. And Moegi apparently never gave in to the temptation to ever change her hairstyle. We also see Shizune in that scene, which she, don't get to see much of her, but she's just doing a thing. And then we also see the scene with where Bolt, the son of Naruto, also I want to say that is the fucking worst name I have ever heard. Bolt. It sounds like he's some cartoon dog. But basically,
he's good.
Yeah, he vandalizes. You know, he vandalizes Naruto's Hokage face and the others to get his dad's attention because his dad works too hard. And I'm like, oh boy. So you have a scene with them. We then also get to see Sakura and Sasuke's kid, and believe me, the sound that you hear there is the bile rising in my throat. Hmm. But yeah, we also get to see a scene of Sasuke who looks exactly like Madara, and this is an interesting, kind of an odd scene where he's walking through a forest, reacts to something, but then he's like, oh, must have imagined it. And so I'm just thinking, what was that supposed to be? But yeah, it's weird. And I like to imagine the part of me that absolutely despises Sasuke likes to imagine that he met his end right then and there. Just, I don't care if that's actually what happened, but just give me this one. Let me imagine that some random murderer came up and just killed him. Also, there's a really weird thing where Sakura's daughter, her name, I didn't actually read it in this one. I read the scanlations first because I needed to know what happens, but her name is Sarada, but the scanlations translate it as
Salad.
Was it salad or was it soup?
Salad.
Either way, I'm like, that's the dumbest name ever. But seeing them actually give her a name that's less meant to be, her name is Salad. It sounds like that, kind of like, you know, some other manga. Anyway, but you get a really weird scene where she's like, Bolt was being stupid, and Sakura's like, was it him again? And then she's all, oh, well, he is kind of similar to me in some ways, too. And it's like, when it comes to dad, we're both totally, oh, yeah. And I'm like, is that meant to imply that Sakura's daughter finds Naruto attractive and finds her own dad attractive? Because that's the kind of fucked up stuff I would expect from this crap. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like maybe, I can imagine a lot of people are probably doing, oh, and then Naruto and Hinata's son and Sakura and Sasuke's daughter end up together, which I guess would be somewhat mollifying, but for people that shipped in certain ways, this is not satisfying. But anyway, not talking about that yet. We get to see the rest of the Kages, and of course, you know, they're all the people that had been introduced as the assistants at the Kage Summit and whatnot. So, and then we end the chapter with some...
Except Gaara, he's still Kage.
Well, we get a sort of recap about blah, 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 Demon Fox. I didn't actually read it because I didn't care. But we then see that that Bolt tagged his dad's statue with and painted the One Piece logo on it, which is kind of a fun little call-out when you consider what the... what we get in One Piece, but I like to think of it as Kishimoto admitting that Naruto is One Piece's bitch because it is constantly outsold by One Piece.
Also, it's pretty, also the yeah.
Oh, also, we get a somewhat see, no, wait, no, he's wearing a mask in the, as in his statue, darn. Yeah, we never got to see his face, ever. Alright, so, now, that's basically what happened, and I mean, I guess it can be kind of enjoyable if you don't ship, and that's why I say don't ship, because it will only cause pain, but let's talk about the big controversy here. Certain people are quite happy. Mm-hmm. They were right, and they get to gloat, which I have to say was an outrage! I wanted to be the one that gloats, and I can't do that.
I would have been pretty humble. I mean, yeah, I guess. To be honest, like I said, with Naruto, I was pretty neutral on it, and I did try to not be on the side where, oh my god, this series sucks, and oh my god, this series is great. I just try and go, okay, this series is okay in some ways, but the epilogue, a rarity ending, the chapter before this chapter, really sealed it for me and made me go,
this is a terrible manga.
It
really is. I mean, I'm not as annoyed at it as I was before, and I do want to reiterate that I used to ship. I since gave up shipping because I know it ruins manga, and yet the remaining hey, you once shipped
romantic.
Things.
Romantic? How could you? How can I actually deny my romantic side? Seriously.
Well, there's a reason I deny it, because it only causes misery. But
yeah.
So the big controversy here is that Naruto ends up with Hinata, Sakura ends up with Sasuke. Now, fans of that pairing are of course happy because they feel validated. Fans of other pairings are kind of furious. Now, there is a lot of, you know, there is going to be a lot of people that is like, oh, you shouldn't worry about the shipping. Why are you so pissed? That's not why you should be angry at it. Which, I have to say, if you are angry because of the pairings, you are completely justified. And I'm going to explain why. Not from the point of view of, I am angry at these pairings. I, honestly, after an initial annoyance, I've just come down to it with the opinion of Naruto was an awful piece of shit. I don't care anymore. But I do want to explain here why people are justified in being angry at the pairings, not from a necessarily a preference standpoint, but from a writing standpoint. Okay. Also, I'm going to explain why fans of Naruto and Hinata should be furious. And here's what it gets down to. The pairings that we get were terribly, terribly, terribly written. Maybe Hinata's one-sided crush on Naruto was endearing, but we didn't get that much of it. We didn't get any focus on it, and ultimately we never got any romantic interaction between those two besides Hinata confessing and Naruto ignoring it for like 4 fucking years.
In our years, yeah.
Yes, in our time. And maybe less time passed, but yet when you're writing a serialized work, you gotta take that into consideration. What is meant to be 10 minutes in the manga's timeline is probably 5 months in our time.
Thanks, Bleach.
Yeah, and so ultimately, that makes the pairing of Naruto and Hinata together come a little out of nowhere, because we never got anything that would convince us that this is a good pairing, or at least that would convince anyone that shipped otherwise that it's a good pairing. When you're writing,
it was a sham. Yeah. A very sham pairing to me.
Yeah.
A sham conclusion to their get together, which the movie is supposed to focus on. But I'm like,
Fuck the movie. We're not talking about the movie. It's
The movie's not the manga. There you go.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about that. No. See, what we're dealing with here, one second. What we're dealing with here is, what we're dealing with here is a problem that comes from the fact that Kishimoto doesn't know how to write romance. He said it himself. Yes.
Look it up yourself. I can't find it, but I can show you. I read it. And I was like, wow.
Yes, we get the point. I'm trying to make a point here.
Okay, go ahead.
He said himself he doesn't write romance. Okay, fair enough. Now, here is the problem with saying I don't write romance and then trying to conclude the pairings the way he did. See, if I were a Naruto Hinata shipper, I would be furious because there was never any actual romantic interaction between them. Even the epilogue chapter, they are not in the same panels ever.
Oh yeah, good point.
And the same with Sakura and Sasuke. They are not in the same panels at all. So if I were a fan of those ships, I'd be kind of furious, because I'm like, great, we get the most romantic thing that we get is the implication that these couples fucked at some point because they have kids that look like them, which is not what I would want. You know, it feels like it's more meant to be a, okay, fine, here's your answer, I don't actually care to put any effort into it, which is not what it should have been. What it should have been is we needed more focus on that, you know?
Yeah, like Naruto kind of like approaching Nana in like about a few panels, say, hey, remember that one time? You know, here's my answer.
Yeah, you know, we never get an answer as to, I mean, obviously we found out, apparently he must have decided that he's going to give up on Sakura and focus on the girl with the big tits that loves him. But it, and one of, and here's the other reason why I find that it is unsatisfying. See, when an author is writing a relationship, ideally what they would do is give us a, make us like the relationship. There are obviously different opinions, but if you're going to be a good author, you need to take the people that disagree with what you want to be the romance and convince them why this is a good romance. Naruto and Hinata did not do that from a writing standpoint. It didn't even try. And now we're expected to watch a movie to be convinced. I'm not watching your fucking movie. I stopped watching your fucking anime years ago. I'm not watching one of the movies when I haven't watched any of the movies. You should have done it in the damn manga. And here's, and granted, I mean, people may say, oh, why did you ship Naruto and Sakura together? There was no evidence that that would happen. Well, obviously, that's not true. There was plenty of hints, and taking a view, looking at this from a perspective of, is this good writing, we start off the series with, we know that Naruto has a thing for Sakura. For most of the manga, we have been told that Naruto is in love with Sakura. We are never given a specific point where he tells himself, I am no longer in love with this girl. What we get is hints of, oh, he still has feelings for her. Oh, wait, are her feelings changing for him? And, you know, you get this progression throughout the manga where it seems like, oh, look, the story we are being told is guy is in love with girl is in love with other guy, girl will change her mind and fall in love with the guy. Rather, what we got was girl is in love with guy is in love with girl, with that girl, and this, that, who is in love with this other guy, another girl is in love with this guy, and he changes his mind and goes with the girl that's in love with him. The problem is, that's not the story we got. At no point ever did we get to see Naruto changing his opinion of Hinata, because she never did anything in the manga. Besides some few minor points where she showed up and then she disappeared, she was irrelevant to the overall course of the manga. But instead, what we get is we see Naruto and Sakura in going from Naruto from Sakura hating him and Naruto being in love with her to them becoming friends and becoming closer. And throughout the course of the series, Kishimoto keeps dropping little hints. Granted, he never specifically had Sakura ever say to herself, I'm in love with Naruto. No, but he'd do things like other characters point out, oh, you're in love with Naruto, even though you don't realize it, and so on. And the one time that she does confess to Naruto, it turns out she was lying to try to stop, get him to stop hurting himself. But the point is that when a writer is writing something, his characters are communicating things, but at the same time, the writer is communicating directly with you. Everything that the writer decides to say or do in the story is something that can be and often should be interpreted as a statement of intent. Basically, when a writer is writing a book, the writer makes promises. Often those promises are direct promises that the writer is consciously aware of what they are doing. But sometimes promises can be made that the writer is not aware they are making. This is something that comes up many times in writing groups that I've attended, where one of the things that you want your pre-readers to look for is promises that you've made that you do not realize you made. Okay? And you can't, I mean, granted, a writer can't be faulted if people pick on promises that they themselves were not consciously making, but it's the difference between a good writer and a dumbass shitty writer is being able to identify where promises have been made. In this series, the constant application of hints at a possible relationship between Naruto and Sakura, whether it be Sakura being nicer to him or Sakura starting to, or someone saying, you know, I think, Sakura, you are in love, and then being cut off, and everything.
Yeah, Yamato, Sai, they said that, I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, granted, these are the characters saying this. This isn't necessarily the writer directly saying to us, these two are going to end up together, you know, that he can't necessarily be held to that, or at least people will make that argument, and I make the argument that he should be held to the promises that he made, and to the things that he said, to the hints, to the hints that he dropped. Because granted, he never ever specifically said Sakura has fallen out of love with Sasuke and then had her end up with him anyway. That would have been bullshit. The reason that I think so many people are angry is because at no point did he ever say Naruto is no longer in love with Sakura, now he's in love with Hinata. Even recently, you had those moments of, like, one thing that people like to bring up is, you know, Kushina telling Naruto that you should end up with someone like that's like me, your mother. And people look at it and say, oh, look, Kushina was violent and foul-tempered. That must mean Sakura, because Sakura is violent and foul-tempered. And granted, Kishimoto never said, this is me telling you that's who he's going to end up with. But by making that statement, by bringing that into the story, by introducing that concept, he is saying, hey, this character is making a connection between Naruto and Sakura, okay? He is saying, I am hinting at a relationship between these two characters, or he is introducing elements into the story that can be interpreted as, this is the character, these characters will end up together, okay? Granted, again, this is all dependent on the reader's interpretation. However, it does come down to the fact, if Kishimoto intended to end the series the way he did, why did he bring these things up? Why did he have Kushina basically say, you should end up with someone that's like me, which Sakura is like her, basically, and that's what a lot of fans interpret it as. And why would he bring up this whole Minato saying, oh, hey, is that your girlfriend, about Sakura, and Naruto saying, I guess she is. That's the most damning piece of evidence right there, is because he brings that concept in there. Naruto clearly, this is after Hinata has poured her feelings out to Naruto, and Naruto says, oh, I guess Sakura is my girlfriend, completely ignoring Hinata. So this would have been an ideal time for Kishimoto to say, oh no, she's not, she's just a friend, okay? But no, he continues to push the button, teasing this whole concept of Naruto and Sakura, okay? He's deliberately putting these things into the manga, teasing this possibility. Mm-hmm. And then he turns around and does not do that. So if you are someone that likes manga and you're going to go around mocking people for what their ship was, don't. Because they have every right to be pissed, because this is a case where the author knew that there were people that were shipped Naruto and Sakura together, knew it obviously because he was putting that element, those elements into his story. Mm. And then he does the exact opposite. Why would anyone be surprised that people are pissed about this?
Yeah, let me get to that part. So last week the chapter was actually finished. Of course, it was this week when it finally was put out. The two chapters were put out. Now the thing I'm gonna bring up is that about what Derek said about how the certain group of fans were pissed is that it got so bad that the sole group of fans went on to Twitter. Found his assistant Twitter and just tweeted lots of death threats and really horrible things. And while I do understand they are upset, the problem is Kishimoto and his assistant were very confused because, like, wait, how did they even know this? Because the people were reading the chapter before it came out. And because of that, that paints Scandalators in a very bad light now. Well, because they're like, okay, now we're really going to get on this.
This happens all the time. Idiots will tweet Bleach saying, congratulations on chapter, milestone, whatever, and the chapter hasn't officially come out, you know? That happens all the time. I don't care about that. Scanlation paints itself in a bad light.
That is true. I just want to point that out. Because
it is, what's infuriating, I find, is the people that, the jackasses that make the death threats. Okay, I understand you're angry. And I am justifying that anger, because here is an author that basically has been teasing you for the past decade plus, and then goes and pulls the rug out from under your feet. Did he do it deliberately? Who knows? It certainly feels that way.
I feel like he was in cahoots with the animators because there's a movie coming out, and we know how the animators love Hinata.
No.
And I, well, okay, fine.
I don't buy it. No, no, that's, no, I don't buy that. No, no. Ultimately, what it kind of feels like is he came to the end and he said, okay, what is the most PC pairing here? And then he goes with that. The problem is the pairings got no development. You know, Hinata, besides her one-sided crush, we never got any development. There were many cases where it could have been developed, but it didn't. And it just feels empty is the problem.
But then a big character, yes, he had development here and there, you know. Yeah.
Don't write a romance with a where one of the participants does nothing besides make some token appearances. If you're going to write a romance, the character needs to be integral to the fucking plot. They need to be involved. You need to give us, the readers, a chance to like the character.
Mm-hmm.
What Kishimoto seems to have done is given us the idealized girlfriend in Hinata, where she loves the main character despite all the reasons that people hate him. You know, it's for the reasons that people hate him that he loves him. It's, she's like, she's not even a character. Why would anyone like this relationship when she's not a character? She has, you know, little sprinkles on top of the cupcake that is her that hint at a possible character, but we'd never get a development. She's just given the bare minimum development and then left there as some trophy for the main character.
Oh, wow, she began to troll me. That's just
really... Exactly. And it's like, and I mean, it's like, you know, she's ideal. She's quiet, she's sweet, she's beautiful, she has big tits, of course. And then she ends up with the main character. That's not enough. That's not what I want from relationships in a manga. I want a relationship between the characters that have been integral to the plot. That's why people latched on to the idea of Sakura and Naruto together. Because though, even though Sakura ended up doing jack and shit for most of the part of this series, in the beginning she was more involved, and the concept of those two coming closer together was more interesting because she was a character. Granted, she was kind of a crappy character when you get down to it, but the potential of developing her from this crappy character in love with some jackass would have been more interesting. You know, and that's what I thought I was getting when I was reading this manga. You know, that's why I shipped them at first. That's why I... But ultimately, it was the crap that he pulled with the fake... confession, where it's like, you know what? No, I'm done shipping. I'm not going to ship anymore because that just opens me up to some jackass author toying with my emotions. You know what? I'm done with that. And that's what we... And... I think I have said everything that I mean to say, but let's get...
Okay.
Yeah, let's get to the Sakura and Sasuke relationship.
Oh, I want to see my bits, too. But okay, I'll see my bits afterwards.
You will let Mr. Bossman talk first. No, just joking. You will let the massive windbag talk first. Okay, now I'm going to take a moment, and we are failing our one-hour mark, but I'm going to take a moment and explain why I think Sakura and Sasuke is the most terrifying pairing in existence.
But...
It all comes down to when Sasuke started taking a turn for the worse, and you had Sakura was trying, you know, being nice, like, you know, cutting up apples for him, you know, just doing the kind of nice things that someone that's in love with someone does. His reaction is smack them out of her hands, yell at her, etc. And I'm like, this is a fucking abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then it continues to, Sasuke continues to destroy his character by being the most insufferable prick in the entire manga, and then you get the scenes, the most of the interaction between Sakura and Sasuke has been either he's verbally, physically, mentally abusive to her, and then he fucking tried to kill her.
He actually did tell Naruto to drop her.
He tried to stab her.
Yeah, he did too.
Naruto took the stab. But it's like Sasuke was actually trying to murder her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could still turn out into a proper relationship if Sasuke's redemption hadn't have been the laziest piece of shitty hackneyed writing I have ever seen. It goes from, I am willing to murder you, my best friend, so that I can be the darkness, to, alright, I'm not going to murder you anymore. And the most we ever get between Sakura and Sasuke that is a mutual romantic interaction is when he says, I will see you later. That was it. Granted, things could have happened in between the end of the last chapter and the end of the last chapter.
Yeah.
However, we did not see that. You are a fucking writer. You are supposed to show us what the hell happened. If you want to do a fucking epilogue where people end up together and you're going to have these characters that were the main characters in romantic relationships with each other, fucking show us. With random side characters that nobody gives a shit about, it doesn't matter. But when we're dealing with the main characters whose relationships was the crux of the fucking manga, you better show us what happened. How did we go from Sasuke being willing to murder Sakura to her being okay with this and ending up having a kid with him? It's horrifying. This is the most horrifying relationship I have ever seen in anything. That is why I ultimately think this is an absolutely shitty ending to this manga. Not because I once thought that Naruto and Sakura together is kawaii, or because I still think it would be better fucking writing, but apparently this jackass can't determine what fucking good writing is. No, it's because, once again, it is a writer glorifying an abusive relationship. The 50 Shades of Grey bullshit. The
quote unquote.
The Twilight bullshit.
Quote unquote.
This, granted, maybe this isn't straight up an abusive relationship, or it wasn't meant to be, but that's what it was. He was verbally, mentally, physically abusive to her. He tried to murder her. That was never addressed. Sakura comes off as a worse character for it, because she ignored the fact that he tried to stick a couple inches of poisoned metal into her gut. And he was going to do it. The only way she got saved was because Naruto got poisoned instead. How can anyone, irrespective of your fucking shipping preferences, think this is okay?
I don't.
The hell is wrong with this generation of manga readers? I mean,
they don't read deep, they don't read in between the lines. They don't try and, like, you know, actually analyze.
It's this ending.
They just read the chapter and then and then they read it again, but they don't really see it. They just say that they're too hopped up on their happy moments to actually pay attention. While those of us who read it, even just once, they go, wait, what the hell did I just read? And you go back and you're like, oh my god, how did I miss this? And then you read it back and you're like, oh my goodness, it's just...
It's this, I mean, granted, the other stuff is, the epilogue itself is stupid. Chapter 700 is stupid. But there's nothing obviously terrible about it, per se, except for it being
the implication.
Yeah, it being the conclusion to everything that's happened over the course of the series. And ultimately, everything that has happened over the course of the series has been shitty writing. If you wanted two characters to end up together because they look better together, fine. You got your wish. Unfortunately, it was facilitated by no effort whatsoever. Naruto and Hinata never interacted. How are you satisfied with this?
Let me say my point now.
Then we move on because
the thing about how it ended. At first, I was enraged, like just about most others, because I was blinded at first. But then, when I calmed down, I looked at it. I read about what Kishimoto had in mind, and now I just go, I am disappointed. I am disappointed at the readers who thought this was great. I am disappointed at the executive who actually somehow thought this was great. I'm disappointed at his editor. I'm disappointed at Kishimoto himself. Because he has a wife, he has a kid. I don't know how the heck he gets through this stuff. But at least he'll be able to them. But I'm disappointed because he had a chance, as you said, to make, you know, something good. To actually end it on a good note. And there are these other half of the jackasses eating this up, thinking, oh my god, this was great. It's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic now. 15 years, of course. But, to me, this is something that, thanks, Casey Moore, this is a great example of how you should not write a manga. Really. I'm adding this to my freaking list. How to not write a manga. This is at the top of my list right now. I'll be making more later on. But, as far as I can say, one half of the two pairings that happened, one of them I would have been okay with. Yes, that's the Naruto Hinata one. If he had actually developed Hinata enough to make her likable. See, with Bleach, yes, I'm bringing in Bleach. Because I seriously don't understand the hate of Orihime in the days and then liking Hinata when one had more development and the other barely had zip.
Well, the answer is obvious. People don't want development. That's why they hate Sakura, because she's the one with development. They want someone that looks pretty and that appeals to their fetishes of character types and whatnot.
Oh, they hate her personality. Now, I understand Sakura's personality is very hard to get used to. But she actually had character.
She was more interesting.
She was more interesting.
And ultimately, we need to move on, because...
And then, okay, let me just finish. And then with Sasuke, he's just, everything's just wrong. Everything's just wrong with just having him be alive. Actually, it's kind of funny how the epilogue actually has him not even be with...
Exactly!
It's like, wow, that's just kind of funny, if you ask me. It's like, oh, look, Sasuke's a housewife, and then he just leaves. He's not even there with her.
Apparent, and the implication is that he spends a lot of time away. How are you people satisfied with this bullshit? Anyway.
But yes, to end on this note.
Yes.
Last two chapters. The first chapter, shitty. Could have better ended that way. The final one, shittier epilogue than the Digimon.
Seals the shittiness because it's an author taking what they wanted to end with and then not giving us a proper reason for it. Later comes in, well, I had a vision, and obviously I wanted to do this all the time, and I'm like, well, then maybe you should have done your fucking job and actually made this apparent. Now, that's enough.
Yes, that's enough. We're moving
Naruto
on.
Naruto is over. I don't care whatever bullshit multimedia buffoonery this jackass decides to subject us to. It is done. I have done my time. I am finished. There was nothing satisfying about this manga. I finished because I wanted to see maybe Kishimoto could redeem himself by actually writing, having some good writing towards the end. But no, the past 5 years have been horse shit. They have been the worst writing. This manga should have ended 5 years ago.
It should have ended after the pain.
We are done. We are now going to talk about the rest of the chapters, and we're going to be very quick about them because I have just spent a good hour and 45 fucking minutes on this episode, and I am done.
Well, you did. You did point out that we were going to be on this for a while.
I didn't want
to. Well, to me. I'm not sure about on here itself.
I didn't want to. It's late. I don't want to do this bullshit anymore. Fucking
I want to get over. That's the reason why I want to get over.
Anyway, we're going to be very brief on the other chapters. Seraph of the End, chapter 27. I still don't care about this manga. You're not going... It wasn't awful, but you're not going to get a good review out of this after we just went over fucking Naruto. We probably should have done Naruto last. It's basically the attack begins, but it's not going to be as easy as they think, and there's an attempt at bullshit vampire politics. I'm not interested in this in the slightest.
Yeah, here's a problem. Okay, here's a problem with me. I was okay at first with the main character. I mean, he was insufferable, but now he's becoming stupider than a shonen protagonist should be.
He's a very standard shonen protagonist. It's, yeah.
He's just becoming really stupid. I guess boring. He's more apparent. It's more obvious to see how just like he just does something, and you're like, why did you do that when you know you shouldn't have done that? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I just kind of did it on impulse. Yeah. Don't do that shit on impulse. I just read a web comic, a little strip of the main character, just realizing that he just did something really stupid. I'm like, oh my god, why did this even happen? It's just okay.
That's enough.
This was
it's crap.
Yeah, vampire politics was bullshit.
It's Seraph of the End is a shitty manga. I'm not even in the mood to give it the benefit of the doubt. Seraph of the End is a shitty manga. Let's talk about One Piece, which even One Piece is tainted by Naruto because of the stupid one Naruto references. You've got the O is now the symbol of Konoha, and instead of Luffy in the logo, it's Naruto, which it's nice to see the manga creators acknowledging each other and whatnot. It's basically Naruto and Luffy with Naruto being covered by Naruto's face being covered by Nami's walking in front of the camera.
The Easter egg is basically the first syllables of each of Nami, Luffy's, and Tony Chopper's names. So Naruto. Yes, Luffy is L, but it's really an R. Yeah. R-U. Luffy.
Yeah, it comes down to the way that they pronounce it in Japan, which that's cute, but at the same time, I'm like, don't acknowledge this horse shit. You are a fantastic writer, Oda. Act like this hack is in your league. He is a terrible writer. He completely flubbed the last 5 years of his manga. If he had flubbed the last couple months, that would have been a different thing. But his manga has been shit for years. I don't know why people still like it. Don't acknowledge him.
Well, you know, mangas, they got... Here's where I see it. The mangaka's gotta be nice to each other because they're stressed as it is. Mm-hmm. They gotta be nice so they don't give any more stress to each other to kill the other or themselves. I mean, Oda's way more stressed out than anyone. We know that. Now he's being more relaxed these days. And
yeah, the only thing that
this is a nice gesture. I'll just say that much.
Well, the only thing that I like about this is the fact that that's a very nice dress on Nami. That is the only good thing about that. Let's talk about the actual chapter. Okay, this was a fantastic chapter.
I cried.
Oh my gosh. We get to see Tsuru's crew, and yeah, you get to see that she is basically, she seems to have an all-woman team going on there, and I like the designs of the three that we see there. It's just, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. And then, the rest of the chapter is basically, Corazon gets away, but he's been shot. He makes Law eat the fruit, and Law's like, wait, I'm not ready for devil fruit powers. But Corazon is dying, and he tells Law, okay, look, give this information to someone from the Navy. And then Law goes, and he finds someone to give it to. And then, one moment.
We all knew it was going to happen.
I had to do it.
We all knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't want to. I just did not wish it happened this way. But
out of all the people that he finds Virgil. And Virgil discovers that Corazon has been a traitor all along. And I'm like, oh no, why? Why?
Well, I would prefer if it was actually Don Flamingo that found, but then at least now we know how this Law has this beef against Virgil.
It's just like you knew that it was something like this was going to happen, but oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, that twist. It was just so emotionally wrenching. Mm. But then, of course, we end the chapter on the funniest crap I've seen in a while, which is where Korra is being all, oh, you know, this is going to be awful, but I want you to remember me with a smile on my face. And then Law wakes up and he sees Korra's smile and he's just like, because Korra has the worst smile ever. It's fantastic. I love this chapter.
I know the smile scared me. I'm like, oh my god, I don't want to remember that smile. That smile's been my nightmares from now on.
It was, I'm like, Law is like, This is what I remember in my nightmares. Oh gosh, this was pretty amazing. I loved it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Toriko. Chapter 300: Attack and Roar. And basically, they fight one of the masters, and they show off their powers, and they defeat it. And that's about it.
Pretty standard shonen there, right there.
But it's good stuff. It's fun. I liked it. Ultimately, yes, I did like it, but...
I swear, the funniest move in this entire chapter was Satan Bombing.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, whatever it eats, can you pet one back out? Satan's Bomb, I'm like, that's just horrible. What? Well, Shuma Kuro's like, I don't give a crap anymore. It probably sounds better in Japanese, but
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm so glad I'm not eating right now. Actually, I am eating right now, so.
Yeah.
I have strong. I have a very strong intolerance for this stuff anyway. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, and there was a pleasant surprise after dealing with the nut crap that is Naruto. I kind of completely forgot that Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma was actually in this magazine. So I was like, oh, pleasant surprise. Chapter 94 of Shokugeki no Soma, which the majority of it is the other two competitors showing off that they are much better at finding fresh fish than Soma is.
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically the gist of the chapter. And it ends with Soma being like, this is bad, really bad. So, I like it. And one thing that I also noticed that I kind of enjoy with this manga is that, granted, it does a lot of fan service for guys, but at the same time, he does really good art when it comes to the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not afraid to show himself, to show off some bishonen for the ladies. So, equal opportunity fan service. I'm okay with that.
Nobody should complain about this. They do, I will smack them. Unless he really does something. Well, it's two guys working on this, so they'll be, these two, if it really goes far, they'll become the next Takeshi, they'll become the next Oba and Obata.
Well, we'll see. But either way, it was a fantastic chapter. I enjoyed it. I'm just so glad that this manga is in this magazine, because now I don't have to worry about, oh, when's it going to come out? I know when it's coming out, and I love it. All right, Hi-Fi Cluster, Chapter 8.
Okay, so the Lubu guy, they fight the Lubu guy. He shows up his powers, and then Kandera manages to overpower in some way.
Yeah.
We don't need.
They've read it. If they're listening to this, read it. We don't need to tell
them.
Okay, fine.
So
it's a fight.
It's a fight. And then after the fight, Lubu guy gets his hand chopped off. I was like, whoa.
The dude responsible for the massacre that Kandera was caught in shows up. And then the most shocking part is that what's her name, Miri?
She
gets stabbed through the shoulder. Granted,
she did try to take a gun out.
Yeah, granted that is a survivable wound, but still, that seeing the one girl in the story getting attacked was kind of unexpected, so...
I don't want it to be a sausage that's like Torugo, please.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Please!
We'll see what happens, but that, I mean, the rest of the chapter was kind of boring, but that got my attention, so I'm like, oh, we're doing something we're being a little more serious here. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and let's see. Blue Exorcist, Chapter
62. The one of Gedwan.
It basically, Gedwan becomes a demon, and they have to fight him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kamiki, her spirits are back, and so she's going to use her new power-up form, whatever, to overpower the demon Gedoin, which, yeah, it was all right. It was a standard chapter. I really don't have much to say about it.
Except for that one page.
Well, yeah, that was weird.
One page of the sketches.
Yeah.
When you point out, like, wait, what? I went back and like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, it's like it just randomly that was like the one page that she couldn't finish, and I'm like, ma'am, you okay? I guess you just decided, you know what? Because I mean, if it was just like the last panel, then I'd be like, okay, she kind of ran out of time to finish it. But the fact that it's just randomly in the middle of the chapter, and I'm like, did somebody give them the wrong manuscript or something? But. Yeah, it's not that uncommon. Other series have done it. It's kind of annoying when you see it, but you know it will be redrawn for the Tankobon publication, so
mm-hmm.
That's fine. World Trigger Chapter 82.
Okay, I actually like this chapter.
This was a pretty fantastic chapter because we get the flashback where we get to see what happened to Chika's brother. Basically,
mm-hmm.
And it's done. I really like the way it's done because it is done directly from the point of view of Osamu, and so everything that we see is we're seeing it through his eyes. Basically, we never see him in the flashback because the way he would remember it is what he sees. He would not. It's not a story told from the point of view of the narrator's camera, basically. This is a flashback that a specific character is remembering
And I really like seeing it like that. I mean, granted, you can have the flashback where it's, you know, you see what happened because it's not portrayed as from the person's memory. But the ones that are portrayed as being from the person's memory and then we see the person in the memories, it's like that isn't how that works, okay? This is a very novel, very fantastic way of doing, you know, of doing a flashback. And then, of course, we get to see the we see how the very first page of the series where we see Osamu being saved by Jin.
I totally love that callback. Like, oh my god!
It makes it all feel like it's come full circle. And now we got that. Now we're going to move on. And Osamu wakes up. We're back in our regular view, and we get to see his mom. And so, which is like, oh, hey, look.
I kind of thought that was Chico's mom, but okay. And it's like, wait, mom? Wait, your mom?
Well, that's just kind of the art style where some of the characters look the same. But no, I look at her and I'm like, yeah, that's Osamu's mom. This was a fantastic chapter. It really was. Just enjoyable. The fact that it tried something a little different, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 146 of Nisekoi. This one I did not love it as much, mostly because Yui is not my favorite character, and the whole she's flirting with Raku even though she's a couple years older is a bit weird and creepy, especially when you consider that she has been placed in a authoritative position over him as his teacher.
She's 2 years older than him.
Which she's only a little bit older than him, but still the whole person in a position of authority flirting with one of their students / underlings always is a little creepy because there is that element of, I have authority and power over you, I am making advances towards you, if you accept the advances, you know, no problem, but there is this sort of undertone of, you know, the person that is being flirted at is, you know, can they deny the advances without getting in trouble from this person that has that could get them in trouble. I mean, granted, she's not the type of character that would do it, but it's the implications are still there. So that's kind of creepy. And I don't know, she's just not as interesting. It's like Shikomi tries to make her interesting, but he's throwing a bunch of stuff at her that should make her interesting, but is more just like character traits have been thrown against the wall, and some are sticking and some aren't sticking. Most of them
are
slacking
off. Maybe it's just because
she's
a little older, that's fine.
I don't think that's it. It's just she's not very interesting. And it's one of those chapters that ends with a dramatic moment, which I'm never a huge fan of those anyway. Because she's been overworking herself and now she's sick. Which I'm like, don't try this. Don't end on a cliffhanger with someone getting sick. We know she's not going to die. She's going to recover. That's not what this kind of manga is. But, yeah, I was not a fan.
Yeah, this chapter wasn't great for me either. I mean, not that I don't hate Yui, I just don't like her as much as the others.
Yeah, but she hasn't had as much time, granted. So yeah, I think our reaction is kind of similar to our reaction to Haru.
She was only introduced, 20 chapters ago, I think?
Something like that, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about Bleach, chapter 604, where this chapter was...
Esbeez,
yeah, this was an interesting one. It was enjoyable. I mean, there's not really... The problem with Bleach nowadays is that nothing really stands out. It's not particularly stupid, but it's not particularly good either. It's just kind of there. So I don't really feel like I have anything to say. It wasn't as bad as Naruto. That's kind of my review of Bleach most weeks.
Yeah, okay, so for me, I'll just say this. Okay, there's a bit where Kyoraku was like, okay, something's happening at the Ryokyu, and he pretty much asks for permission to leave and go there. And I'm like, okay, if he's going there, but I'm like, okay, you know, if for some reason Kuba makes all of them go there, I'm going to go, this is the worst organization ever. And that makes Boruto look good. I mean, Boruto actually now looks good in my opinion now, because
it does.
Stuff they just did. Yeah. But if they all just leave, if they take their captain, all their captain, all their rebel captain, go up there to protect the place, I'm like, you're leaving Sarutei defenseless.
Well, granted, most...
That's not a very good idea to do that.
I think most of the mooks are pretty much dead, but... Yeah.
Good point.
Anyway, moving on. What's the next bit? Oh, look, it's Naruto. Fuck that. I'm not reading the second chapter. Not now. And then after that was the final chapter. Okay. No biggie. not worried. Okay, Assassination Classroom, did we have a new one? Yes, we did. What chapter number was it, Mo?
107?
Okay. This one
was... Oh my god, this chapter!
This was pretty fantastic, especially if you like the relationship between Karasuma and Arena, which there isn't really one, but they're getting there, okay? So, the thing... It's basically, you know... we get a little bit of backstory with her. She gets injured and trapped under rubble. Karasuma's like, oh, gonna leave her because, you know, she knew what she was getting into. But then the kids are like, look, she's like 22 or something years.
20.
Yeah, she's 20. Like 20 years old. Come on, cut us some slack, will ya? And then Karasuma finally says, all right, fine. Which, given the type of character that he is, that's a major step in the right direction. And I think a lot of it is meant to be, look, this is, she's like this because of her past, etc. And that's kind of what we go over. And that
and
was...
we did see her past.
Yeah, we did, and we got a little bit more. We got to see, you know, what, you know, her first assassinations and all that. And mm-hmm. So it was definitely a very fantastic chapter. And the ending with Karasuma deciding to help her, having looked at the Raws, I kind of have a suspicion of where things are going, but I also, not knowing what they actually say, we'll kind of have to see how that develops.
I just want to say the first chapter is just hilarious. The first page of the chapter is hilarious. Is Karasuma breaking the chains like nothing? He apparently he parts the flames or explosions like nothing, and he catches a knife in his teeth with a barrier.
Yeah.
Freakish, frightening face.
It was pretty fantastic. I did love that.
He was more of a monster than I thought.
Yeah, definitely. This really was a great chapter. And there's more to come, and I keep trying to not mention what happens, even though I don't really know what happens. So.
Oh, yeah, and there's the popularity content. The character popularity content.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on. It's time to talk about Fairy Tail Chapter 408, and I have to say, this chapter was to me.
Yeah, Mard Gear is annoying.
Yeah, Mard Gear isn't very interesting. He reveals his ultimate demon form, and I'm like, whatever. And we also get to see that the dude that was the Sabertooth.
The former Sabertooth Guild leader.
Yeah, he's a demon now, and he's just as uninteresting as he was before. I have to say, with Fairy Tail, this is a case of I'm trying very hard to find reasons to like it sometimes, but when you get down to it, it's kind of boring. And when I've used up all my energy in hating on Naruto, I'm kind of like, I don't even have any energy to be happy here. But, yeah.
You're right. The pages are kind of out of order.
Yeah, they are.
Because I'm like reading, I'm like, wait, why did he, wait, I'm like, who's this guy? And I'm reading, like, wait, Andrew, wait, what? I'm like, just go back, like.
Yeah. It was weird. It's like they're out of order. And I'm like, you should probably fix these. But, all right, Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 103. This one, it's kind of a in-between chapter. It's just everyone partying and whatnot. You get
new duds.
Yeah, we get a hint at I forgot his name. Galther is like, oh, these clothes were made for me by my cute lover, and you're like, and the other's like, wait, what? And of course you get a bunch of scenes where you've got Veronica and what's his name?
Guillermo.
It's like, you know, they just have some, like, scenes together, especially one where the fireworks are going off and she's sitting on his shoulder, and I'm like, oh, that's adorable. And you get a almost kiss between,
Gil Sander and Margaret.
That's it, yes. You know, which I'm like, oh, you know, it's refreshing how straightforward he's being about actual pairings and possible pairings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
and they're nice. Nice is pretty much where their allegiance to the lady.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then we of course get the seven deadly sins. There's a new heroic romance of passion, bitter wailing begins now. Starts now. So we actually, and we get a we get a sort of silhouette of the final sin. So it's like, oh, they're gonna go after him. So I think it's going to be a case of
this series will take a lot more time going.
You mean the silhouette? It kind of looks like we already got an idea of what we already know how he looks.
Well, we know how it looks, but I mean not a silhouette, but it's like he's just in the background. Oh, but
portrait image, yeah.
Yeah, and then of course with the Bond deciding to go to the Fairy King's forest, and he's going to look for Elaine, and King is like, wait, what? It was a really good chapter. I liked it. I find the let's not be stupid about this refreshing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we missed it last week, but let's talk about Attack on Titan chapter 63.
Yeah.
Which is, we get to see a page of
Rita.
Yeah, getting actually, you know, straight up eaten. We get to see her spine being torn out, and we get, yeah, and it's pretty gruesome and everything, but we also get another horrifying scene where one of the previous ministers or whatever has like a funnel attached to his ass and a tube.
It almost reminds me of Gyo. Now that's just more horrifying.
It kind of reminds me of that, the human centipede almost, but with just one person.
Yeah, that one.
Where I'm like, oh geez, what is this? Moving on.
Not watching that movie.
Yeah, what I like about the chapter is how we're kind of getting the main focus is, you know, Historia realizing that, you know, her sister, her half-sister was killed by Eren's father. And, you know, you just kind of get this, you know, she's not wrong. Eren's father did a pretty awful thing, but at the same time, she's starting to blame Eren for it when it's not her fault, when her father is about to do something horrible to her and turn her into a Titan, and Eren recognizes that, and he's just like, no, do not do that. This is not good. Because, you know, you kind of have to think, it's like, okay, granted, yeah, Historia realizes that her family was murdered by Eren's father, but at the same time, you're like, no, 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 you don't understand. Eren's father did something really messed up by Eren by forcing him to eat him. It's pretty messed up. This is just everything about this is messed up. Don't fight each other.
Okay, can I just mention a funny moment where Kenny appeared and...
There was a funny moment.
Yeah, there was a funny moment. There was a... what's his name? Rice asked him, why are you here? And he's like, what do you mean I'm here? I'm looking for the bathroom. I could go number two.
Yeah, that was weird.
Kind of explains the way he was walking the whole time.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, jeez. This is no place for comedy. Anyway, that was that. I think we've spent a lot of time on this episode. I think it's time to wrap things up, don't you?
Yeah, okay. Right,
let us go calm down so that next week we can talk about manga and not hate our lives. All right, this has been Manga Cubed, episode 121. Yes, for November 10th, I've spent way too much time on this episode thanks to technical difficulties, so appreciate it, ye listeners. Let's go ahead and talk about the author comments, starting with Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. With the final chapter finally here, I have conflicted emotions. I feel both happy and sad. The only thing I'm completely sure of is the gratitude I feel toward the readers. Thank you for supporting me until the end. Otsukare-sama, believe it. I'm not going to comment. Like I said, I'm done. Mo?
Okay, One Piece is 8-year-old. Colleague, friend, and rival, I'm thankful for being able to be serialized alongside you for 15 years, Kishimoto-san. Otsukare-sama.
I'm noticing a theme here. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. Whoa, Otsukare-sama deshita for the 15 years, Kishimoto-san. Thank you, Naruto. Next one.
Food Wars. Shokugeki no Son, basically. Yuto Tsukuda. The series I first encountered in junior high has concluded. Kishimoto-sensei, otsukare-sama deshita. And Tosaki says, I totally am too.
Hi-Fi Clusters, Ipe Goto, otsukare-sama deshita, Kishimoto-sensei. I'm honored to be included in such a special issue. Next one.
World Trigger, Daisuke Ashihara says, a part of Jump history is coming to an end. Oskare-sama deshita for such great work for the last 15 years, Kishimoto-sensei.
Nisuko is Naoshikomi. I'm so happy to have witnessed the end of a great work from the bottom of my heart, Oskare-sama deshita. This is like...
Oh, they're saying good job after working. Yes. That's what they're saying.
No, but I swear, reading each one of these and listening to them is like needles.
under my fingernails. Okay, last one.
And Bleach is TT Kubo, Kishimoto-san, otsukare deshita, otherwise good, good work after so long. I know you'll still be busy even after this conclusion, but please, first get a little bit of rest. Also, you should have been saying, hey, it's my turn next.
Yeah, well, let's do the rankings. I am going to say, let's see, one, two, three, four. Okay, fourth place, Toriko. What's your four? I think we've lost Mo. Lovely. Okay. I'm going to just go through my list. So, fourth place is Toriko. Third place was World Trigger for an absolutely fantastic flashback chapter. Second place is Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma, because I just really love that. And in first place is Naruto for its fantastic conclusion for an absolutely fantastic series that at no point ever slipped up. Fuck that. It's One Piece. Obviously, it's One Piece. It's... No. This has been a rough episode to record, people. My co-host keeps disappearing. And I had to deal with the ending to quite possibly one of my most hated manga of all times, and I don't know why I kept reading it. We're still doing the rankings. I did
okay,
all of mine.
Okay, let me do it fast. I gotta get going, really. So.
Yeah, I know. I have to leave, too.
Okay, my rankings, four would be the Hi-Fi Cluster. I mean, it did finally start to get good. Hopefully it's gonna get good. What ranking are you doing right now?
I already did mine.
Okay. Third for me would be Food Wars.
Okay.
Despite all the fish talk, it was good enough. And then second would be World Trigger. Okay. Although I wish it could have been first, but that was pretty dang good. Pretty dang good coming back around there. And of course, One Piece, because... Oh my god! Urkel, why... What happened to you?
Yeah, oh, it was fantastic.
It was heartbreaking.
Fortunately, One Piece was fantastic this week, otherwise this would have been a much more down chapter episode. I would have been like, fuck everything. Food Wars, fuck you and your fan service. I hate you. No, I don't actually.
Right, I love it,
but I would have hated everything. Thank you, One Piece, for being good. That's honestly how I felt this week. Naruto was shit. It's been shit for many years. Fortunately, One Piece has been fantastic. So, I think that's about it. So, yeah, questions, comments, send them through the usual ways. But for now, we're going to say, remember, the manga is always better, but sometimes it's not very good either. See you all next week.
See you all next week. Bye.